Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, hello again. Even though your pet can't speak to you to let you know they're in pain, there are signs that can indicate they're in discomfort and pain. So what are the signs? Well, luckily, vet Niamh Fagan is here to explain it all to us. Niamh, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
How difficult is it to know whether or not a pet is in pain? Will they always make some kind of a noise of distress, or are there other signs?
No, there is other signs, subtle signs. So pets will hide pain naturally, cats and dogs particularly. They don't want to appear vulnerable or weak. So we expect that they will cry at us or whine, but it's not the case. Very, very subtle signs like changes in behaviour. Behaviour is the kind of number one way to look and assess pain. So any changes, sudden changes, so they're isolating, restless, maybe sudden aggression or just hiding away. They're not themselves. So anything like that, you need to be keeping an eye on, maybe keeping a diary and assessing, and then bringing it to your vet, bringing the pet to your vet and getting them looked at for pain.
And for if you notice a behavioural change, how long would you say, if things aren't picking up, if they haven't returned to their usual form, how long would you leave it and observe them before bringing them?
It's always worth looking at is there any other external factors, like maybe we're having a heat spell or something along the lines of that. If there's nothing like that outside kind of the box and it's just a sudden behavioural change, a week or 2 weeks, I would be definitely bringing the pet to the vet at that point. If it's progressing, if it's getting any worse as well, I wouldn't waste any time. There's various different types of pain, and some types of pain, when they're left, they wind up and it gets worse. So getting there earlier is very important.
And what would you say is common? What kind of things cause pain in animals a lot?
Yeah, so you'll have two different types of pain. So acute pain and chronic pain. Acute pain is something where it's a sudden onset. So an accident, maybe somebody has stood on the pet, a small dog in the home or something like that, a fracture, something along the lines of that. That'd be really common. Maybe dog fight, something like that. Cat fight, very common. Chronic pain is something that goes on for a longer period of time where it's progressive. Healing phase takes longer than 3 months and maybe it will never heal. With that, you're looking at progressive diseases like maybe arthritis, maybe some cancer pains, things along the lines of that. So looking at these subtle signs can really maybe help diagnose something earlier on in a disease process.
And differences between, you know, cats and dogs, for example. Let's start with cats.
Yeah.
How do they behave? What's the obvious sign? I mean, you know, anything to look at, tails, ears, anything like
that?
Yeah,
there is, absolutely. Yeah, so cats are very strong creatures, very resilient creatures, but they're actually very susceptible to stress, and pain causes stress. So what you'll find very subtly is cats' ears can go back. Where we see this with a dog, that can usually, it's a sign of endearment or that they're happy. But cats going back or their eyes squinting can be a very subtle sign of pain. Behavioural change with them not maybe urinating or defecating in their litter tray. So they have arthritis and it's sore to maybe go over the box, or the lid is, the roof in it is too low. They're trying to compensate, so they might go around the box or somewhere else in the house. And another thing we see with cats is matting along their spine as well. So that's not because they're...
Just clumped hair, is it?
Clumped hair, yeah. It may feel greasy, that kind of thing, dirty. It's not because they're aging and their coat is becoming poor. It's actually because they're too sore to turn around and groom themselves. Cats are very clean animals. They like to groom themselves. So that can be a sign of arthritic pain.
Okay, and dogs?
Dogs, the main one we would see is slowing down on walks. So it's not just aging. It's not just kind of they're getting old. There's a reason why they're doing this, and it is usually pain. If they're limping as well, a lot of owners would come in. I think I've said this before. They'll say, oh, I don't think he's in pain, but he's limping. What's going on? Pain is the reason for that limp. So that's what we would see most commonly with dogs.
Okay. Appetite, is appetite affected at all in cats or dogs? And if so, how?
Appetite will reduce if they're in pain. So if you have a Labrador and they love their food and they've kind of pulled back, they're not finishing their breakfast or they're not eating until the evening time when they're really hungry, that can be a sign of pain. So it's just really important to get veterinary advice and get them on pain relief. You can look at getting a pain relief trial. So if these signs are very subtle and we're not too sure, we could trial them on pain relief for a week to 10 days and assess behaviour. We do pain scoring. So it's a questionnaire where we go through various questions with you to try localise the pain, see the severity. We might do that at the beginning and the end of the pain relief trial, and we can look at the changes and see, okay, this dog has responded to his pain medication. There's pain somewhere. Let's investigate further.
Right. Is it hard to administer, or is it always administered by the vet in the surgery, or do they give it to you and you have to do it at home?
Yeah, it can be given to you. So tablets, liquid, there is lots of options. The one thing I would say is some human pain relief medication is toxic to pets.
And ibuprofen is one of them.
Ibuprofen. Paracetamol is very toxic to cats. So it's just not to be tempted to give anything kind of from over the counter at home.
Okay, yeah. Get to the vet. All right, plenty of questions in from listeners. So let's get to a few of them. Kathleen asks, I noticed my 2-year-old Springer Spaniel licking her bottom today. She gets all her infections and worm tablets. She also scratches her mouth vigorously and nearly eats her paws. What could this be?
Yeah, so that sounds like it could be a condition called atopy, right? So it's an allergy condition. So usually we will see this where the skin is affected, the skin around the mouth particularly, the paws, maybe the ears, and then they have glands just at the back of their rectum, and it can affect them as well. So I would say that your dog maybe has an allergy to something, whether it's environmental, pollens, grass, or maybe a food, but it's worth getting that looked at because that can get worse. You can get infections in the skin, and then your pet needs to be treated with antibiotics. And again, that's a painful condition as well.
Okay. Best advice for small doggies with arthritis, Mary wants to know.
Yeah. So for small dogs, the main thing with arthritis is cutting the pain off. Okay. So really, really important. That's the first thing you need to do. So if your pet's not on pain relief, you need to start that now.
Long-term pain relief, is it?
Long-term pain relief. Now, every patient is individual, and that's where those pain scores come in. To make a pain management protocol for your pet, no two will be the same. So it could be that you give the meds every second day or whatever it might be, but when advised by the vet. So pain relief is really, really important. A supplement would be great for your pet. So that helps slow down the progression of the arthritis.
Is that like what humans take, like fish oils, that kind of
exactly,
thing?
Exactly, yeah. So glucosamine and chondroitin would be the main two kind of components that we'd be looking for. There's various types of supplements out there. You can get them in veterinary clinics, you can get them over the counter as well. So that would be, I would advise, if you can, add that into your protocol. With if it's an older dog, a small dog, just not forcing them to go on walks.
Okay.
You know, they're not the same as they were 2 years ago. So if you find that you went on a really long walk today and my dog's actually very stiff the next day, it means that that walk was too much. So try break it up into maybe two shorter walks in the day, or pull back that following day on exercise. Okay. Don't overdo it.
So people text, they want to text into us still, 51551 or 0870 32 32 32, if you have a question. Now, somebody, a cat question this time. I have a cat with a suspected middle ear infection. She's been to the vet awaiting further treatment. Meanwhile, she won't come out from under the bed, eat or drink, which is obviously worrying me. She had an anti-nausea shot but has no balance, so is just miserable. Does Niamh have any advice of things we can do while we wait for our next vet appointment? Greatly appreciated, says a despairing cat parent, Joe in Dublin 8.
Yeah, that's very distressing for the cat, and actually quite common as well. What I would say, and just on this topic, I suppose, pain relief would be very important there. So you've mentioned anti-nausea. If the cat isn't on pain relief, I would request pain relief. It sounds like that's why they're maybe hiding away. The head tilt can cause them to be disorientated and stressed as well. Just keeping them calm, maybe no loud environments, really bright lights, just a kind of cool, dark environment, just to try to keep them as kind of controlled and contained as possible. And then hopefully you'll get to the bottom of it then as soon as you can. But pain relief would be very important there.
All right, the poor cat, yeah. We have a 14-year-old lab cross. He's losing weight and getting slow in walks. He is on medication for heart failure. Is it safe for him to go on arthritis pain medication, asks Desi.
Mm-hmm. So different drugs will react differently depending on what the pet is on. It'll also depend on, because the age of this pet, their organ function. So if they haven't had a blood test, I would strongly recommend a blood test, given liver and kidney being okay. I can't foresee why we wouldn't be able to select. There's many different types of pain relief, something to help your dog. If he is 14 and he's slowing down, pain relief is really, really important there.
Okay, yeah. So the vet will kind of know what maybe the appropriate mix is and will look out for any of those kind counterindications. There's somebody else. My five-month-old Yorkie eats everything when in the garden or out on walks. Soil, debris, snails, slugs, etc. He's well fed and otherwise fine. I just can't get a handle on how to deal with this. His nose is on the ground and he's quick to snaffle anything. Please help, says Jane in Dunleary. I think that's more how to preempt possible future pain or disasters more than somebody who's in pain. But do you want to throw your best shot at that one? Yeah,
absolutely. I see the other side of this all the time when, as you said, it's kind of too late and the pain is already there. It sounds like that's a behavioural issue. So I would absolutely recommend seeing a behaviourist for that. Some people will go as far, you know, some dogs, it's just in their nature and there is nothing that you can do.
Right.
They'll go as far as maybe even placing a muzzle on the dog when you're out in areas that they might pick something up that could be dangerous. If you've feeding the dog appropriately, not losing weight, that's behaviour based, I reckon.
That'd be grand, basically, is what you're saying. Just, as long as they don't eat something. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. My dog is 13-year-old Bichon Frise, but for the last week, sometimes when we lift her, she starts to growl.
Mm-hmm.
Some people hearing that about a Bichon Frise might not be surprised that they give up a growl. They're good at sticking up for themselves, diplomatically.
They absolutely are. So
does that sound like something that's worth investigating for pain?
It is. So all the symptoms that I've mentioned that could be painful, they also cross over with behavioural issues. So the most important thing is that we rule out pain. It's the one thing we don't want for our pets. So if that's a sudden onset when you're lifting your pet, I would definitely get that checked out. That could be abdominal pain. Sometimes they'll hunch as well. Watch out for that to try to protect the abdomen if they have a tummy upset or something like that. So I would get it checked. If it's behavioural, that's a longer term treatment to kind of work on and work through with a Bichon.
Okay. And, you know, at what age really does arthritis start kicking in for dogs? And is there anything can be done in that kind of transition period that might help a dog be, I suppose, more resilient in dealing with it? You mentioned supplements there. Is any of that worth doing
early on,
beforehand?
Absolutely. Yeah. So 7 years old is kind of the geriatric age, and that's where we start to see commonly arthritis start. You want to be starting supplements maybe about a year before that. Some dogs, depending on the breed, certain Labradors, breeds like that.
Seven, really?
Yeah. Some might develop
it
as early as five.
A fellow at home won't be happy to hear that.
Yeah, it is, right. Unfortunately. Now, with smaller dogs, it's pushed out a little bit more because they have longer lifespans. But you do want to be either putting them onto a senior diet that usually has those ingredients that we're looking for.
Ah, right.
Put them onto a senior diet or start a joint supplement in and around the age of 6 or 7. That will help. Also, really important, but just making sure you see the vet every year. Now, you go for the boosters, so you can do a health check in that in that appointment. But just so that they can assess muscle mass, movement, things like that, subtle signs that maybe you might pick up that there's early onset of arthritis. The sooner you kind of get it and nip it in the bud, the better lifespan you'll have with your pet.
Okay, and you said at the outset there, you know, keeping a diary and that, and I mean, people have phones. Did video, photographs, any of that kind of stuff
videos
helpful to a vet?
Videos and photographs are so important. People come in all the time and say, oh, I took a video of this, is that okay? I'm very happy to see it, because in our consults, it's maybe 15 minutes, a half an hour long. The pet is stressed, adrenaline is running high. I'm not going to be able to assess their behaviour or movement appropriately in that time. So to be able to see a video of them in their natural environment of maybe something subtle, they're only limping when they're doing a trot or a certain situation, is really, really helpful. So take as many videos and pictures, your vet will appreciate it.
Okay, my 6-year-old Doberman Mix had his ACL done last year. Now the vet has told us he has arthritis in the other knee and will be getting surgery in a few weeks. How often should he be walked to strengthen his muscles without causing him pain? He used to be a very active dog, but as a result of these injuries, he has become a bit lazier, understandably, I suppose.
Yeah. So again, that's a common common condition we see in larger breed dogs. And usually when it happens in one leg, you do tend to see compensation and then arthritis and it being needed in the other leg. With that, you need to try balance. So kind of as I'd said, if you find that your dog is very sore and stiff the following day, what you've done the day previously or the day before or the morning of was probably a little bit too much. I would say shorter walks more regularly if your schedule allows it is better than longer walks. Hydrotherapy is really, really beneficial for dogs with joint pain, particularly this dog in this condition.
Right.
So if you can get them to a hydrotherapy pool or swimming in any way, that will really help build up the muscle.
Should dog's nose always be wet? Is it a sign of dehydration if it's dry, says Fiona from Cork?
No, it's an old myth.
Okay.
Don't focus on the dog's nose. It's okay, either or. It can depend on the temperature.
Do dogs with renal failure experience pain not eating new renal food, says another texter.
So the reason this dog's probably gone off his food is because of nausea. With renal disease, you get a build-up of certain elements in the body, urea, and that can cause nausea and cause the pet to go off their food. So I would recommend, if they haven't had a blood test done in the last 3 to 6 months, getting a repeat done, because that can be a sign that those elements are creeping upwards.
Okay. Hello. Regarding dogs, I have a Basenji, which is a short, smooth-haired dog. Every summer he gets lumps on his skin, which appear to be itchy. They'd appear to be insect bites, but he's rarely outside, so difficult to know how he could be getting bitten. Any idea why that might be, says Martin.
This could be a form of HP, which I'd mentioned previously about the previous dog. So with that, getting ahead of that with maybe an antihistamine. If it's happening seasonal, so it's happening at the same time every year, which sounds like it is,
yeah.
Getting ahead of when you're anticipating them to come up with maybe an antihistamine or another medication advised by the vet could help with that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, drink of water, deep breath. You fairly rattled through them. Niamh Fagan, vet, thanks very much for joining us on that.